Good afternoon, everybody. It is Thursday afternoon, and it is now time for Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Hey, Fetch.
Quiet. Go ahead. She's asking a question. Don't be rude.
Hey, Fetch, did that woman really say you have garnets of steel and a mind like a freaking laser?
Mary, you can't be asking questions like that. This is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Why not? Aren't we broadcasting from the Middle East?
Well, yeah, but we might be seen as being politically incorrect.
You know, the problem is everybody dumps people when there's a sign of political incorrectness.
Ethan, you're always politically correct.
Heck, thanks. Does that mean we can talk about dumping the Israelis tomorrow?
Oh, I'm sure you will probably say quite a bit more than that. And now coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, this is Inside the Eye Live Primetime with your host, Fetch.
All right, everybody. Thanks a lot for... All right. I think we're about done with that. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for that. From Amman, Jordan, this is The Fetch, and you are listening to Inside the Eye Live Primetime. And... today's date is Thursday. It's June 21st. I'm so out of touch because I've been so busy. I don't even know if it's today's summer, everybody. I know the summer solstice should be either today, tomorrow, something like that. But happy summer if it's already passed, man. Normally, I'm up on these things, but I've been really hammered here in Amman as of late the last 3-4 days with guests. So my apologies for that, but we are here live to do the show here on Inside the Eye Live Primetime. And a good Thursday afternoon, early evening to all of you listening in the United States and Canada. And a good late evening to early Friday morning to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones. And of course, wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web or our FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets, may all be well with you and yours. Now, the weather here in Amman has really been quite pleasant, with daytime highs hitting only around 83 degrees, which is quite frankly very nice at this time of year for Amman. And we've had a very, very nice afternoon breeze today, and that something around 14 miles per hour. That cooled things off very, very well. Came out of the west-northwest, which is basically coming from the Israeli side of things, off of the Mediterranean, up over the top of the mountain here, and then cooling Amman off very, very nicely today. So it's very, very delightful afternoon and then an early evening. It's actually been very delightful all night. Now, it's a little bit warm here, of course, in the studio as we start to put the show together here for you. We don't want all the street noise to be bothering you folks. So for now, in the next 2 hours, you'll join me here, if you don't mind, for, again, another edition of Inside the Eye Live Primetime. Current temperatures are right around 67 degrees, and we'll be heading down to 61 in the hour just before sunrise. And we can expect cool and comfortable weather when we awake, because it takes like about noon to 1 o'clock before the heat actually starts to pick up again. And what that does is it really makes your mornings fantastic, everybody. What I like to do here in Amman is just wake up after this show. I'll be awake about 10, 10:30, 11. I'll go grab a cup of coffee, maybe about 3, 4, 5 slices of bacon. It's going to be a beautiful bacon breakfast tomorrow, and I'm just going to have a very nice time tomorrow morning, quite frankly. Just going to enjoy some nice coffee and a beautiful bacon breakfast, I should say. All right, everybody, join us in the chat room, InsideTheEyeLive.com. I'm actually not there yet. Let me get over there now, InsideTheEyeLive.com, InsideTheEyeLive.com. What you do, click on the live chat button up there, and you'll be able to pick in and get into the live chat room. Now, on top of that, we've added a new page under the listen page, and that is the live video stream. So we are continuing to simulcast here on YouTube. And so what you can do is you can join us in the live stream on YouTube. And you can do that by going to YouTube and just look for User Inside the Eye Live and go find and click your way through to the live link. Or you can, I believe, you'll be able to go to the live video stream. I did not test it, but I did embed the video into the live video stream page. It's not a whole lot there, but you'll be able to just click it, go to the website Inside the Eye Live, and then go to the listen button, drop down menu, live video stream, and you should be able to watch it there too. I don't know. I hope everything is going through okay. I have not checked in with the chat room yet, and we are clicking to connect now. It looks like hopefully we'll be able to connect without any problem. And but we are having a little bit of problems here connecting to the chat room right now. And not exactly sure why that would be, but we are having some problems connecting to the chat room. Strange that that happens. Unable to connect, reconnect. I need the chat room, everybody. That's actually how I know what's going on here in the studio. It's the just the easiest way to go. We do not have a live stream, everybody. We are working purely on the clock, just so you know. So hopefully I can get into the chat room and you guys can help me with the show here. But I cannot get into my own chat room. Inside the live chat connecting. It's not connecting. Let me try a different computer here because we'd really like to be able to get into the chat room, everybody. So Inside the Eye Live, I don't like to use the production computers, but InsideTheEyeLive.com. I am now there. Go to the live chat again. And hopefully, guys, not a great start to the show here, but hey, that's the way it works sometimes. And let's see, I'm in Firefox on the other computer. And, yeah, it's just showing red, red, red. So hopefully we're going out. I can't even tell you if we're going out, quite frankly. Hopefully we are going out. We do have people on the live stream, so I guess that's going out. Guys in the live stream, if you can let me know how things are going there, that would be great equally because I don't have any access. Yeah, it says sound and video is cool. So, guys, okay, yeah, everything is going fine now. So it looks like everything is okay, everybody. So thanks so much for that. Mer Bailey and George 1951, Lukey 1020, all those guys. Okay, everybody, let's get this thing moving quite along. Again, we don't have any guests lined up for you today, so we'd like you to do. We will open up the phone lines bright and early. And so what you can do is you can join us at 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. We're just going to kind of like spend the next 2 hours with some international news and events, some commentary, some interesting little side facts and shows and things like that that's going on out there. One of those is the FIFA Cup project, I guess you could call it, the FIFA Games, the World Cup, which is, of course, going on inside of Russia. And what's happened there is that there was a story we talked about a couple weeks ago, and what this was you had the Minister of Family, Women, and Children Committee. She's not a minister, but she's head of the lower house of Parliament's Family, Women, and Children Committee in Russia. Her name is Tamara Pletnyova, and she was speaking in a radio interview. And what she did is she was talking about how, look, we had huge problems after the 1980 Moscow Olympics with a lot of Muscovites, women dating a lot of the foreigners coming in. And what happened was they had a generation of children who were singled out, who were taken advantage of, who were abused, who were misused. They were isolated and ostracized from their society. And so what she was basically saying was that, look, we had a problem in the 1980s. We understand this problem. We are advising and asking Russian women to not get involved with having sex with any of the people coming to the country. But then they said, she went a step further and says, look, it's much worse if you have an African male with a Muscovite that child's situation will be much worse. So please, if you feel you must be dating and having sex during the World Cup, what they're asking you to do is to find another white guy to do it with. And of course, you can imagine the social justice warriors uproar throughout the world about this. And of course, we know it's there. We didn't really bother with it too much because, hey, you know, the liberal leftists, Jewish loons out there are just that. They're a bunch of idiots. But a story has now come out of Russia that really tells us why we do not want to be hiring leftist loons for our corporate management structure. See, if you hire a leftist loon, a social justice warrior idiot, what you're going to do is you're going to find that when you have decisions made within your company, and these decisions are made on the feelings and the agenda-driven lunacy of these social justice warrior morons, your company is going to suffer. You know, when you go to get a good position at a really good company, what's going to happen is you're going to have to go through a background check. And that background check will determine whether or not you're really going to get the position or not. And any sensible American, British, Eurocentric employer that wants to have a successful company out there, it's gotten so bad in the social justice warrior field that a background check is warranted just to find out if you got a leftist loon nutcase sitting in, on the other side of the desk trying to get a job with you. And that's what's happened to a major company, American company called Burger King. Now, a lot of us, we know Burger King. Burger King is everywhere. Here in Jordan, there's Burger Kings. I'll go to Burger King. I'm American. I like my burgers, right? So I'll go to a Burger King here in Jordan, and it's not so bad. Quite frankly, it's okay. Saudi Burger Kings, I mean, I give in to the temptation, but they're really not a good burger in Saudi. I'm sorry, my Saudi friends, but Burger King, they just don't know how to do the bun, you know? You got like a super hard bun. Never mind. It's just disgusting. Burger King in Saudi Arabia is disgusting. But what they did in Russia, and they've now had to offer a full-blown apology here, is they ran a promotional campaign in Russia following, and you know what's going on here. Now, you got to put these two stories together. It's not that, oh, Burger King is just apologizing here. No, they're not just apologizing. They were reacting. They had a social justice warrior nutcase reacting to what Pletnova said a couple weeks ago, just before the start of the World Cup. And that was, hey, don't have sex with the foreigners. Try to find a Russian. We need children in our country. Please settle down, get married, have children. We would love to support you in that. We need Russian children. Please, we would love you to have children. It's not like we don't want you to have children, but just try to find Russians to have children with. And you know the social justice warriors out there, they're like freaking out. They're saying, oh my God, this is terrible. We can't allow this to stand. So what they did is they came up with a brilliant idea. Let's run an advertisement in the Russian community in Russia and say that we are going to give free food to any woman who gets impregnated by a foreigner during the World Cup. Yep, that was the commercial. Hey, go get yourself pregnant by a foreigner and we're going to give you free food. Well, obviously, in a conservative area like Russia, that didn't play over so well. Now, restaurants, brands, they're the owner of the Burger King. They launched this promotional campaign in Russia that promised women, get this, $47,000 and a lifetime supply of their famous Whopper burgers if they would get impregnated by a World Cup player. Now, do you really think that the geniuses over at Burger King came up with this idea without having Pletnyova's statements in mind? Do you really think that? This was basically a liberal leftist, probably Jewish nutcase, deciding that, hey, We're going to show these people with this brilliant campaign. Now, the advertisement, it appeared on the Burger King social media sites. It was taken down, but was still widely circulated on Russian social media, according to the Associated Press. Now, Burger King later has apologized for the, clearly offensive. No, it's not clearly offensive. It's just completely stupid and moronic. It's beyond stupid. It's complete inane idiocy, and we know where it comes from. It comes from this leftist, lunatic, I don't even know how to say it politely during a family hour here. Guys, these people are complete loons. Now, Burger King's advertisement might be, they say, the most egregious offense in recent memory. The chain, of course, is not the only company that has its fair share of bad promotions. There was a promotion by Dove, you know, in Africa. And what they did is they ran the commercial and they showed this black woman putting Dove on her face. And her face slowly went from being black to more and more and more white. And, of course, that didn't go down so well. You know, here you are. The more you wash with Dove, the whiter you become. And, oh, my goodness, what an uproar that is. But let me tell you something. I've known a lot of people from Africa. And I've known a lot of fairly wealthy people from Africa. And I've known wealthy people from Africa that have had African maids in Africa. And I've known them to talk to their maids in Africa after the maids gave birth in Africa. And they have, to a man and a woman, told me numerous times, not once, not twice, but numerous times, that women, black African women who have been exposed to the good side of Western culture and Western civilization, when their children came out and they were like black as black as black, they were so depressed because they were just hoping that their child might be a lighter shade of black instead of a hyper dark flavor color of black. So I can understand actually why Dove ran it. Because there is a vein of women out there in Africa that actually don't like being it, and they wish they could have a lighter skin. And there's nothing wrong with that equally. A lot of us go get tans because we don't like to be so white. So I guess we're racist for trying to get tan too. But yeah, all of this leftist lunacy stuff that's been going out there is just absolutely mind-boggling. But it is the way it is, and we kind of have to deal with it. There's another fun story. This is coming out of Israel. This week, the Israeli, what do you want to call these guys? The Israeli foreign ministry, the propaganda ministry of the Israeli government have been going off overtime about all of these rocket launches coming from Gaza into Israel. And if you follow like the tweets of the Israeli Defense Force spokesperson, this guy's a complete loon. I'll tell you what, I've never seen a guy that tweets the most lame, childish, moronic type of information. And I'm like, dude, you're a government spokesman. That's the best that the Israeli government can offer us right now is a bunch of complete morons. Then you've got a few others that are like obviously trolls for the Jewish government, Hasbara. And they've been whining all week about how the Gaza, they keep firing these rockets off into Israel. And then they show us these pictures. And one of the pictures, guys, was so freaking lame. What it was like it was just a couple like metal pieces. It looked like round, like it might be a shell of some form, with some white powder on the pavement, and the pavement wasn't even dented. And they're like making this out to be, oh, this was within 400 meters or 400 feet of a kindergarten. I'm like, what? Are you guys that freaking lame? At this stage of the game, when the Israelis have taken and blown Gaza into dust and rubble, and then taken 95% of the water supply and destroyed the water supply. And now they want to complain to us about one or two bottle rockets coming over the border that we can't even ascertain is actually coming from the Gaza resistance there, and it's not really a resistance. I guess you could call it a resistance. They're being genocided. But it's lunacy, guys, just the stupidity. And this week, there was like dozens upon dozens of tweets coming from the Israeli government about kites. That's right, kites. It was all about kites. And it's like, really, you know, really, you guys are going to give us a bunch of stuff on kites being on fire. And you're like, the Israeli Defense Forces took down 412 kites today, and all of them were on their way to light fires in Israel. I'm like, you know, I'm being stupid here because, you know, how do you deal with the stupidity of the Jewish people here? They've been pushing this story, and then they came out yesterday with a video of these screaming, panic, running Jews. I mean, these Jews are like running like monkeys with their head cut off, going here, there, and everywhere because of quote unquote sirens coming off from the Israeli government. And I'm like, they're like, oh, these Jewish Israelis weren't able to sleep last night because of Gaza attacks. No, they could have slept fine, you morons. It's just that you guys in Israel are so stupid. You're lighting off all these sirens for a bunch of bottle rockets that you, we, and everybody else knows are essentially 100% harmless. And the probabilities of getting hit by them are far less than you going out twisting your ankle, running to a shelter because you're so panicked and afraid. And you might actually kill a few people if you're lucky in Israel, you guys, if you give a couple people a heart attack. That would be cool. Go give yourself some heart attacks over stuff that just, you know, guys, I've been around a lot of situations. Now, I've never been in really serious, serious danger. Nothing like that. But I have been in some very, very serious situations. And guys, the worst thing you can do is panic. I mean, you gotta obviously have your wits about you. You gotta be smart. You gotta be, aware. But you know, when I was in Saudi, it's like, you know, we had a massive missile go off, shook my house. And can you imagine the Saudis? I cannot imagine this, guys. The Saudis setting up all these sirens and panicking all of their people for something that is basically going to hit in the desert. I mean, yeah, if you are just that unlucky in these situations, well, you're lucky. But guys, you can get hit by a car. You can do all kinds of things can happen to you that can cause you to die tomorrow, tonight, the next week. Things happen, folks, and for the Israeli government to sit there and go on Twitter, to go on social media and run these videos of a bunch of chicken running like with their head cut off Jews because the sirens going off left and right. Guys, you don't need to remind us how stupid you are as a culture and a society. Really, I can't imagine what was happening this week with the Israeli government and just how much these clowns were going on and on and on about all of these dangers from the Gaza people. It's like Gaza is a frickin' concentration camp. Have you guys figured this out yet? It is a concentration camp. Do you guys understand, Mr. Jew, what is and is not a concentration camp? They have kites. They are attacking you with kites, you know, and then they're like complaining about all this. And I'm like, you know what? Look, you Jews really got to stop what you're doing here because you really do. You live in a glass house. You have bombed Gaza into dust and rubble. Then you go bomb the rubble again and just kind of shift the rubble around again. You have created a situation where 50% of the children inside of Palestine, they don't want to live anymore. They actually don't want to live anymore. About 46% of the kids in Gaza are anemic because they don't get enough food. They cannot get proper water. They can't take a bath. Guys, Gaza is one of the worst Really, it is one of the worst concentration camps right now in the world today, and it is paid for by American taxpayer dollars, and this comes after the Israelis and Jews have engineered an attack on the USS Liberty in 1967, the affair in the Lavon affair, I believe in Libya, the, of course, 9/11, and the attack on the World Trade Center. Folks, Jewish people are involved right now in some of the highest levels of treason we have ever witnessed on, and it's been going on for hundreds of years, but certainly at least 100 years. Folks, we are dealing with a treason in our midst that is beyond most people's comprehension. We're dealing with an evil that is, quite frankly, beyond most people's imagination. So, folks, the more you go out there and start to watch and read and hear what is happening inside of Israel, the more you understand this is a society of nutcases. They are complete loons. You know, they make our social justice warriors in America look like rational people sometimes. I'll tell you, these guys are really, really loony. Let's see here. Sarah Netanyahu, this is the wife of Benjamin Netanyahu. She is being charged now with fraud. She was charged today for allegedly misusing some $100,000 in public funds to order lavish meals for some of the country's most famous chefs. From some of the country's most famous chefs, that is according to a court spokesperson. The indictment came down. It charged that Ms. Netanyahu, along with a government employee, fraudulently obtained more than $100,000 for hundreds of meals supplied by restaurants, bypassing regulations prohibiting the practice if a cook is employed at the home. Now, she was charged with aggravated fraud and breach of trust, and according to the indictment that was released by the Justice Ministry. Now, if convicted, she could face a maximum sentence of 5 years in prison, though that obviously would never happen. This is a Jewish country. They never, ever do that. So anyways, guys, we're going to break down into the fetch inside the island prime time. Back with more right after this. All right, everybody. Looks like we are back live. We don't have audio now from the studio today, everybody. So we're trying to work on the clock, but unless I'm staring at the clock, I really can't tell you exactly what's going on. And unfortunately, I'm a multitasking type of guy, and apparently I missed the clock there. And I've been trying to log into our chat room inside theilive.com, inside theilive.com. I've been able to get in through. What is this? What do you call these guys? Firefox. But I have not been able to get in for whatever reason on the Chrome browser so far. I'm not sure what is happening there. So we're going to try to solve that after the show, I think. That's a little bit frustrating. It is listener-sponsored and supported radio, everybody. It does rely upon your donations to help keep the network alive, up and running. We've been running a little bit short, everybody, at the network. So we do ask that you get out there and you do what you can to, of course, help keep the network up and running. We're a couple $100 short so far on the network, and so we do need your help in raising some money this month. We fell about $600 short on the network last month. So what we'd like to do is, again, do what you can to support the network. We're a couple $100 short right now on the schedule. So if anybody can get out there and donate something and help us with the network, again, that would be very helpful. Again, there's many ways to do that. You got the swag. You've got the various ways you can do that, the seed orders, and, of course, you can make direct donations. Go to revolution.radio and the support page, and you can find many ways to support the network. And we look forward, obviously, to having you do that, because without this platform, we're not able to do the shows that we do. And, of course, we appreciate all the help that you guys have been doing. And for now, we ask again that you, again, work help us get the network up a little bit. We are short again this month by about $200. For whatever reason, folks, I am not able to get into the chat room today. We must have a conflict somewhere. I am on in one computer, but I'm not in another. And so I am anonymously there. Because I am anonymous, I am not able to see, again, for whatever reason, who's there. But I am there. I see Jim Fire there is there. Wolfgang is there. A few others. We're also streaming live on YouTube, everybody. So again, you can go out, check out YouTube. User is Inside the Eye Live. Again, user is Inside the Eye Live. You can join the YouTube stream. You know, we just started doing this. This is our third week doing YouTube. And so far it looks like it's doing okay. We're not having a huge audience yet, but people are checking out the shows, and we're trying to reach out to obviously get to more and more people. And so we're expanding into the video realm. And we want to thank everybody that's been very positive with your comments about the YouTube effort. So we appreciate all of your nice thoughts out there. This is, of course, besides the listener sponsored, we are sponsored by, of course, the Cat Report. The ITEL Cat Report is brought to us this week by friends of Grissom.blogspot.com. And if you're not familiar with Grissom.blogspot.com, he's going to be busy today, because what Grissom does over there, Zapopper, what they do is they take a lot of the different podcasts that are in this market genre. They edit out all of the fluff, all of the mistakes, all of the dead air, so that what happens is when you go and get a show at Grissom.blogspot.com, you're getting a show that is really void of all the mistakes, all the hassles, all the headaches. And so you just get a nice, pleasant listening experience. And it's like a full-time job. You know, there's dozens of shows that are posted there. It is the official archiver, quite frankly, for Inside the Eye Live. We have been doing this now for what? Since 2017. They've been archiving my shows since 2012. So we have a long relationship there, going way back. Everybody right now needs money. I tell you, everybody does. That includes yours truly. But, you know, Zapopper there, it's a full-time job over at grissom.blogspot.com equally. So again, if you can do what you can to support any of these venues, whether it's revolution.radio or Zapopper at grissom.blogspot.com, we appreciate that. And of course, if you have any requirements, and I know my IT guy gonna have to get busy on this, man. Find out why we can't get into our chat room. But for whatever reason, I cannot get into the chat room. So check into that, everybody. I don't know. There must be there has to be a conflict somewhere. So anyways, this week's cat report's actually kind of interesting. We did have a kind of a sad story. I don't have the story opened in front of me, but it comes from GM. And he sent me a picture of his cat, and he sent me the name of the cat. It's off the top of my head. I don't remember. But we want to send nice thoughts out that way, because he learned today or this week or recently that his cat has cancer, a type of mammary cancer. And it's in a very aggressive type of cancer. So his friend, obviously our cats are our friends very much, and our family member. And so it's going to be a difficult time. They're devastated, as you can imagine. And so our hearts and our thoughts go out to you, Mr. GM out there, and best wishes with everything and the cat. And hopefully, as he says, we hope to just make the transition now as pleasant as possible for the little critter, because she's going to be in a lot of pain as this starts to advance. So he said maybe lots of painkillers will be ordered up to try to help just make it as peaceful as possible for her in the final time, because they say it's a very, very aggressive cancer. So we got your story. We got the picture. Thanks for sending that. It's always a sad thing for those of us who are, of course, friends of our feline family members, and of course the dogs too. We know that a lot of your dogs too, but we just don't have dogs here in Amman. There's a couple dogs around, but we're not a dog people. Hard to keep dogs in apartments in Amman, to be honest with you. Cat story here is kind of interesting with my cats. One eye we had been missing in action for about 4.5-5 days. And I thought when I was doing the show last Saturday that I saw one eye running in the field across the street from us. So what I did is, since I hadn't seen him for about 4.5-5 days, I went out there And I looked, and there was a white cat there, but it wasn't the white cat that's One Eye. One Eye is a nice, beautiful white cat. It was a white cat that One Eye likes to fight all the time. And so I was kind of disappointed because it had been about 4.5 days before I'd seen him. So the next day, Sunday, I went out looking for him because I'm very worried now. It's not like One Eye to be away for 5 days. So I went out and I was looking for One Eye, and I went to places where I know he kind of hides. And I was asked, you know, just kind of, hey, One Eye, you know, One Eye, calling to him. And then I heard this whimper, an absolute whimper of a meow. And I'm like, One Eye, is that you? And you'd hear this whimper again. It's not his normal call. It's normally talks to you, and it was just a whimper. And I'm like, oh my goodness, where are you? And I heard his whimper, and I actually had to triangulate to where the heck he was because the whimper was so shallow. So I found him. He was hiding in this area behind, just not too far, but he was hiding. And I said, what's up? And he just couldn't move. So I helped get him out of his little hiding place, and he was an absolute massive pain. I had to drop him, not drop him, but put him on the ground, and he was just in massive pain. He turned around, arched his back, spit at me like I was going to do something to him. I'm like, dude, what's the matter with you, man? Then he sauntered away. He found another hiding place. I finally had to go back to my house, get some help. It took us about 15 minutes to get him out of his hiding place. We use the old food trick. You know, food works all the time, typically, when they're hungry. So we did get him out, and he had been in massive pain. We don't know what happened to him. We think somebody kicked him pretty hard. He could barely walk. He was in he cannot jump. Like, normally he would jump from one cabinet to the refrigerator. He cannot jump. He is in pain just coming down from, like, a couch or a sofa. But he's here. He's right in front of me right now. I guess I could turn the camera, but it would kind of mess up the studio here. But he's here now. He's cleaning himself. He's doing much better, thank you. We had some chicken the other day, and I'll tell you what, he's got a nose for chicken. He's a strong guy, but he's doing much better. And the great thing is he hasn't left for 5 days. So now he's clean again. And when he's clean, he's really a beautiful, beautiful cat. So we're very happy to have him back. Obviously, we're very worried for him. He kind of hid today. I thought he snuck out. But no, he didn't run away. He's still here. He's now cleaning himself literally in the studio here. One Eye, how you doing, buddy? But he's a good guy, and so we're happy to have him back. But he's really trying to recover from whatever happened. He can barely walk up and down stairs right now. A very difficult time. Bruiser's Bruiser. He's a good guy. He's up. He's just having a great time eating, sleeping, drinking. Nighttime, he's a good pet, lap pet. Loves to sit on your lap. So it's a great time for the cats here, at least here in Amman, because we finally got One Eye back. It was really a difficult time, but we finally got the One Eye back. It is now time for one of those special moments of the show, and that's called the Oyvey moment. And this week's Oyvey moment is coming to us from the United States. Really, it's a senior level issue here. And what it is it's the Trump administration. What they did is they have withdrawn from the United Nations Human Rights Council on Tuesday, making good on what it called a pledge to leave a body it is accused of hypocrisy and bias against Israel. And quoting here Ms. Nikki Haley, who is to us a Israeli Jewish agent, basically a traitor to the American people, she says, for too long, the Human Rights Council has been a protector of human rights abusers and a cesspool of political bias. And again, she is the ambassador of the United States to the UN. And she was speaking again on Tuesday at the State Department in Washington. And she said that the decision was an affirmation, I can read, of U.S. respect for human rights, a commitment that does not allow us to remain part of a hypocritical and self-serving organization that makes a mockery of human rights. Now, first of all, as I look at the United States withdrawing from the Human Rights Council, first of all, why is the United States withdrawing because of a foreign power? Think about that. Why are we Americans sacrificing our interests on a global body simply to appease a foreign nation? And if you don't get the hint that at this stage, we are not American, but we are occupied by the Israeli government, then you're just not paying very much attention. For us and Nikki Haley and the United States to get up on the global scene and make a mockery of herself, make a mockery of the United States, make statements that really look like we, the American people, are just a bunch of idiots, is simply uncalled for. It's treason, folks. You know, this council has 47 different members, and nobody's saying things are perfect out there. It was created in 2006. It's based in Geneva. It began its latest session on Monday with what they called a broadside against President Donald Trump's immigration policy by a UN High Commissioner for Human Rights. This was Zayed Raad al-Hussein. He called the policy of separating children, and these are two different issues here, from parents legally crossing the southern border of the United States unconscionable. Well, here's what I don't get with what's going on out there. The idea of separating children from parents happens everywhere a crime is committed. Everywhere. It doesn't matter what country you are in. If you are involved willfully and sometimes not even willfully in a crime, you're going to be separated from your parents. Furthermore, when you look at the human rights abuses by things as Child Protective Services, when you look at how Jews will sit there in national media and say that people who have a pro-white attitude should have their children taken away from them, we do not need at this stage as Western Europeans to be lectured by anybody about what is and is not a human right. We ourselves are under the same type of assault that these immigrants are. It doesn't matter whether you're a citizen in America. If somebody makes a complaint against you to the Child Protective Services, guess what? They can come knock on your door, kidnap your child, take that away, and you may not see your child again for 4, 5, 7, 10 years. So don't dictate to us, to the UN Human Rights Council, about what is and is not, quite frankly, a violation of human rights. It's not just at the border here, folks. And the situation at the border is not any different than it's been for years, going all the way back at least to the Obama administration. Then to see so many Jewish people out there, so many Jewish people talking about how this is such a tragedy and how bad it is to be separating children from their parents. And yet at the same time, we see Jews in Israel shooting kids in the head, in the leg, causing amputations, using exploding bullets that rip children's bodies apart, and Jews want to sit there and lecture us about what we are doing at the border as if somehow we are as low life and disgusting as the Jewish people themselves. Really? Is that how these Jews want to start to play the game? Look, I've been saying it all along this past week, and really, we need to start hitting this home. When you live in a glass house like Jews do, stop throwing rocks, you morons, because we need to pick up these rocks that they throw at us and just heave them back and make sure you shatter as many of those glass windows as there are out there in their little glass home. Because I'm tired. Really, I don't know about you, but I am tired of having Jewish people lecture Americans, British, French, Italians, about what is and is not, quote unquote, a human right. And you have this cesspool of a country called Israel. And Nikki Haley is one of the most dishonest, loathsome people who covers for this abomination called Israel. And by the way, 9/11, folks, was the last straw. Israel is the enemy of the United States. Make no mistakes about it. Now, I don't care whether we're out of this council or not, quite frankly, but you know what? Why really are and is, I should say, why is the United States leaving this council for a foreign power? Folks, literally what this is telling the American people is that Israel and Jews are running this area of our foreign policy. No other excuses for this at all. Haley took the lead on this decision on Tuesday. Oh, we have a Zionist agent, a Jewish agent, an Israeli agent taking the lead. Isn't that nice? And she made it plain By the choreography, it's all so dramatic in Jewland. Of the announcement, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo delivered brief remarks before she spoke. Oh, wasn't that nice? Another Israeli firster praising Haley and leaving it to her to announce the withdrawal. And condemning the move, Senator Chris Coons of Delaware, a Democrat who serves on the Foreign Relations Committee, said the decision sends a clear message that the Trump administration does not intend to lead the world when it comes to human rights. Well, yeah, you can't lead the world, Mr. Coons, when your foreign policy people are all run by a bunch of Jews, and they're the ones that are running the foreign policy, and they don't have any human rights sense in them. You're dealing with animals in a very esoteric sense of the word. These people are not civilized. I mean, did you see Jews running around like a bunch of morons with sirens going off everywhere, panicking left and right? Oh, my goodness. These people aren't freaking logical, rational people. You're not going to be able to solve anything whenever you have Jews in power. And Mr. Stephen Pomper, he is the director of U.S. programs at the International Crisis Group and a former National Security Council director under Obama. He said that this particular body could get better, but it stands a worse chance of doing so if the U.S. takes its ball and goes home and allows it to become a playground for strongmen. Well, first of all, it's always been a playground for strongmen, and that are these Jewish strongmen. Furthermore, everywhere we have ever gone, we have witnessed that Jews, when they are not happy, what they do is they like to take their ball and go home. Have you ever noticed that? Every time something happens that Jews don't like, they want to take their ball and go home. They want to boycott this. They want to boycott that. They want to whine here. They want to cry here. They want you to give them sympathy for this there. Oh, we're Jews and we don't like this. We don't want to be able to let you do business there anymore because we Jews, we're not happy about the whole thing. Folks, we've been seeing this whining for literally 50, 60, 70 years, depending on how old you are. It's pathetic. These guys are idiots. It's gotten so out of hand that I don't even know how to deal with it on a rational basis, because I'm dealing with a childish irrationality that defies logic. I just can't imagine people being so stupid, really, like a Nikki Haley. So I can't imagine getting up on the global stage. A global stage, and making a complete jackass out of yourself, lying here, making false statements there, making statements that are just making you so hypocritical about reality that you don't even understand reality anymore. You're disconnected from it. That's the message Nikki Haley sends to the world, that America is completely disconnected from reality. And in a very real way, so is the Israeli people. So are Jewish people. We're dealing with people that are just strongly disconnected from our reality. Their reality is like nothing to do with us anymore. They've become like so programmed into this robot nonsense. They're like in a parallel world. Everybody's a Nazi. I'm like, come on, dude. That's like so freaking 1980s, man. 1990s. Oh, you're a Hitler lover. Oh my God. These guys are like, this is a parallel, bonkers world, man. And now Nikki Haley, well, she's done it well. She's gone out and she's basically made herself. Of course, she basically has been doing that for a lot of years, but she's brought the U.S. out of the United Nations Human Rights Council. And quite frankly, the world probably will be better off without a Nikki Haley being able to make a complete idiot out of herself over there. But then again, we really have to ask ourselves once again, why are we Americans being kept out of certain international bodies because we're serving a Jewish master? We are supposed to be one of the greatest countries on earth, but you bow down to a cesspool of corruption, lunacy-driven sleaze people like in Israel? And that's the greatest country on earth? I don't think so. Mr. Trump, you're in bed with the wrong people, with, quite frankly, on an international scale. We wish you luck in the America scene. But when it comes to international politics, you've got a long, long, long way to go, quite frankly. I am just not impressed yet. And that goes without saying. I don't want to say it goes without saying. Of course, we wish you well on North Korea. It's far, far away from accomplishing anything, but we do wish you well on that. All right, it's the Fetch, everybody. That is this week's Oy Vey moment. Again, brought to you by the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, a new show every day of the week. That's right, every day of the week. And you can on beautiful.com. All right, everybody, back with more right after this. Hour number two, The Fetch and the Online Intelligent. Actually, Franklin. All right, everybody, welcome back. It is indeed The Fetch, Inside the Eye Live, prime time for, what is today, June the 21st, 2018. Time's flying by. We're already halfway to the winter solstice, eh, everybody? That'll be kind of cool. Anyways, we just want to let you know we are still streaming on YouTube. It's a new I don't want to say opportunity, it's a new effort. We've been trying to put together some pretty nice stuff on YouTube so you could give us a shot. I'm like looking at myself like, oh yeah, you look kind of cool. But nonetheless, everybody, we are on YouTube, and the best way to get to that YouTube stream is to go to YouTube and just search for Inside the Eye Live. I see a lot of people come in that way until I kind of get things settled in exactly how to do that. Another way you can watch the YouTube stream is you can go to InsideTheEyeLive.com. And then you go to the listen page, and then underneath the listen page is a live stream page. And until, you know, you get used to getting to the right place, I guess that's a good way to get in. So again, you can go to the Inside the Eye Live page, go to listen, and then there's a drop down menu for the listen, or just, I think live stream video or something like that. Video live stream or something like that. But you'll get it. You guys are smart enough. You'll figure it out. But anyways, guys, so check out the live stream telephone numbers. If you'd like to call into the show today, 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. Time here locally in Amman is about 2:03 in the morning. And that is early in the morning, I guess you could say. But nonetheless, we are alive and well. And then calling, I guess, now from I think North Carolina. Frank, how are you? And welcome.
Hey, Fetch, how are you?
You know, I'm doing well, thanks.
Good. Hey, Melania Trump somehow scheduled herself within 24 hours to visit McAllen, Texas, with an accompaniment, I guess, of Secret Service agents and whatnot, to visit some of these detention centers to see for herself what the conditions were and everything. And I think the conditions have really been exaggerated by the Chinese-controlled media here in America.
Yes, yes.
And, And I can't understand something, Hopech. It's unbelievable to me the dumb mistakes that these Republicans and Trump and people like his wife make. She wore like an olive drab, kind of military-looking, like vintage, like long jacket with like a hood on or something. But then on the back, as she's getting on the plane to depart, you know, all the cameras are there and everything, and it's got like somebody painted with white paint. But apparently, you know, at first I thought, well, it's sabotage. You know, she didn't even look at it. Somebody just gave it to her to put on here, said, here, put this on. But apparently it's her jacket. And it says, I really don't care. Do you? Just the letter U and then a question mark. It looks like a kid, you know, spray painted it on there. Maybe that's some kind of, you know, chick fashion look or something I'm not familiar with. But it was very inappropriate for a first lady to even be wearing.
Yeah, that does sound a very terrible message if you're wearing something like that. That's stupid.
But basically, you know, her spokesman apparently is coming out saying, well, what she really meant by that and why she wanted to wear that was she doesn't care what the media says about her. She was saying, I really don't care what you think about me. I know no matter what I do, you're going to attack me. But, I mean, are they not intelligent enough? I mean, I would have known when I was a teenager, you're going down there to pretend or whatever, you know, maybe she's going down there to show, hey, look, I don't like this any more than all you people out there complaining. I'm going to go down there, check it out for myself. I'm really concerned for these children. But then to wear a jacket, because a lot of people are going to accuse her of what? Oh, she doesn't really care about those kids. She's just doing that. It's a photo op. It's this. It's she's trying to be the softer side of Trump and kind of deflect some of the criticism and the, you know, all this. And to wear something like that, you've got to be kidding me. How stupid is that?
But that is, you know, I'll be honest. I've met a lot of people in power, you know, in my job here in the Middle East, and you'd be surprised how stupid, and not being too critical, but how just not intelligent people are. And they sometimes don't see, but you got to wonder sometimes in this mimetic warfare we're involved in, just why she would do something like that for sure. It just doesn't make sense. But, you know, it's been amazing to me is how this Jewish media has been going full on this story. It's like, dudes, you know, what don't you guys get? I think we have enough people aware now that we can start throwing, as we say, these rocks back at their glass houses, because it is just dumb. You know, we've got the pictures of Obama putting them in these old aluminum foil survival blankets, you know, and that's, I don't know if you ever tried those. Those are not the most comfortable things. If an emergency you need it, yeah, but it ain't the best thing to have to sleep with, you know. You want something on your body. That ain't something you really want to be using unless it's an emergency. And yet these guys, they just keep going round and round and round, making complete idiots of themselves. I've just, the media to me is a circus environment nowadays.
Well, you know, everything they're criticizing Trump for, and don't get me wrong, I'm really not a fan of Trump. I got off the Trump train a long time ago. I got onto it as a last-ditch, you know, hope. I mean, in my mind, I said, you know what, he'll probably sell us out at the end, but you know, I mean, there was nothing else.
Didn't he come so fast, huh? Yeah, he didn't wait very long, frankly.
No. But, you know, what he's being criticized for, all that was in place. Like you were saying earlier, of course when there are crimes committed, there's going to be separations. This has never really been an issue.
Yeah, exactly. And what's really not fair here is that if the liberal establishment, to be politically correct here, the Jewish establishment, to be more accurate, but it's also the liberal establishment in America, if they really want to talk about crimes against children, we have massive crimes by our own, you know, CPS services across the nation, who are separating families, breaking up families left and right. You don't need to be an illegal alien here inside of America to have the government come in and abuse you. And so we really, it's just dishonesty, you know, at a level that it's difficult to fathom, Frank. It's like, dudes, you know what I mean? We could have hundreds of thousands of people in every state losing families, breaking families up from CPS. And all it takes is a complaint from a Jew sometimes.
I tell you, the right, they have their problems. I mean, I could spend a lot of time criticizing all different facets of the right. But I'm telling you, the people on the left, like you say, the liberal establishment or you know, the Jewish establishment and the liberals. And I'm telling you, these are very disingenuous people. They're unprincipled.
Disingenuous.
Very disingenuous.
Yeah. I agree. It's disingenuous.
It's
yeah,
you know, in fact, that's a nice way of saying it. But really, they're just a bunch of liars, man. They're just a bunch of unprincipled animals. It's just win at all costs, no matter what, no matter how dirty, no matter how many lies we have to
play. You know, that's But just to kind of that Burger King story I started with, you know, in Russia, that's what this was. Just as dishonesty. Oh, this person said that, so we're going to try to spite them and do this. They're just spite-filled, man. It's like everything they do is out of spite. It doesn't matter anymore. How can we spite these people? How can we make them – how can we ruin them? There's nothing fair or decent about these people.
I'll tell you, there's no – I don't think there's any group of people that are as full of spite as the Jewish people. I mean, a lot of their motivation is just purely out of spite and hate.
I tend to agree with that. You know, the Alison Chabot story is a case in point. This was nothing but spite and hate. And unfortunately, they have courts now. But folks, I don't know. I'm of the mind now, if the courts ever turn, do not ever, ever have sympathy for a Jewish person. You just got to be insane. Because they are they're standing by watching their tribal members ruin people for nothing. And they think it's okay. And they're silent because they don't want to be ostracized. Well, don't ask us to ever, ever come to your rescue ever again. Because it's just pathetic.
I will. You don't have to worry about me. You won't need to send a memo to me. Save your time, because I've already written them. I've already written them off. I will never have any sympathy for these people. If the tide ever turns and starts going against them, don't look at me. You know, neighborhood Jew down the street. You can forget it. I have no sympathy for you. You are the enemy. I don't mean just like a conscripted enemy on the battlefield that didn't have a choice. You know, that's different. I mean, you can have compassion for your enemy who's on the other side in uniform, didn't have a choice, right? This is different. This is a different type of war. This is a spiritual war. This is an existential war that they want to wipe out the white race.
Yeah, and it's become even patently obvious. That's the funny thing about this. It's become so obvious, and yet they again, like you say, this liberal leftist Jewish media, all they want to do is lie every freaking second of the day. It's like, you guys know this is what you're doing. We're telling you that's what you're doing, and you still will just deny to our faces everything that we're telling you is true. I don't like this mentality, Frank. I can't stand these type of people that will literally lie to your face, even when you tell them you did this, and then they'll try to gaslight you and say, no, that's not what we're doing. You know, you're just a racist hater. And I'm like, you know what? You just want to sit back, because you cannot talk sense to these people. The only thing they understand is violence. They are engaging in violence. I call it intellectual violence. They are literally assaulting your entire sense of fairness, your sensibility. They're just smacking it. They're trying to smash your fairness. That's intellectually violent. So I don't care whether there's a violent, you know, reaction to these people physically, because no amount of common sense reaches these people. And it's, you wonder why pokes happened. Well, okay, I can see why they happen now, because you can't talk sense to these people. They won't even let you talk sense. They want to censor you every freaking step of the way nowadays.
Well, if there was ever a group of people that couldn't afford, I mean, there's no other group of people out there that have as much to lose by the truth coming out about just about anything, historical or right now. I mean, they're in this constant battle to keep the truth hidden from the masses. Also, one other thing, people probably know about pretty well, probably better than I do, but we've had another shooting of an unarmed black teenager here in, I think, Pittsburgh. I think they're calling it East Pittsburgh or something, but they are out in force, saying something's got to be done, something's got to be done. But, and I was kind of two-timing you there. I had to turn on the 6:30 world news tonight because I thought there was going to be breaking news. I'd been led to believe there were two House votes today to do with, immigration. And there wasn't any mention of it anywhere on that 30-minute block. And I was listening to you at the same time. I kept waiting for it. There was nothing there. I don't know if people are familiar with Alley Pack, but I've been listening twice this week to the guy from Alley Pack, William Dean, and that's Americans for Legal Immigration. And I thought that there was some big vote today, but I don't know if it was. I don't know what happened, but anyway, there was no mention of it on the news. But I saw that, and the police officer that shot the guy, and he was running, and it looks to me, they have video, they're showing the video. It's from a distance, probably from a cell phone of a witness, a bystander. It looks like the unarmed black man, 17-year-old, was shot in the back three times. And apparently the officer that did the shooting was just sworn in earlier that day or the previous day. So it was a brand new rookie cop.
What a terrible way to start your career, huh?
Yeah, and apparently the driver of the vehicle that he was running from, the vehicle was a suspect vehicle and a shooting somewhere else that had just happened.
Well, Frank, you know, these types of stories, the first thing I want to do is I want to know who is responsible for training. Are they trained by Jews? Yes, sir. That's all I want to know now is I don't want to hear the black community up in arms against white people. I want them to first investigate who did the training. Is it the Israelis? Are Jewish people heavily involved? What's the Jewish content of this officer's training? And I want to look at that first before I start to make any rational decision.
Yeah, that's true. That's always first on my mind, too.
It should.
Where was the training? What is the source? Where does this training originate from? The indoctrination, the training. There's a bunch of former Mossad IDF guys who came to America and started up some consulting group. This is the way it's done, and this is the most modern way of training your rookie cops and the cadet, as cadets and blah blah blah. Yeah, I guarantee you, it's filled with Jews. All of it is.
Yeah, the whole training environment is largely Jewish. People complain to me a lot about that. I'm in the training business, but where I am, you don't have too many Jews because it's the Middle East. But the people do complain to me globally about how Jews just dominate the intellectual development human capital business, and they use it basically for spying, infiltrating different circles, corporate circles, and they use it basically for industrial espionage. It's basically a criminal racket. This entire training business, of which I make a decent amount of money with, of course I'm ethical, but nonetheless, Jews use it for a lot of less than ethical purposes, which is to be expected.
Well, if you choose the consulting firm without all the Jews in it, you must be anti-Semitic. You're not anti-Semitic, are you?
Yeah. No, I mean, what they tell me is, they're so happy to hear that I actually talk about the Jews the way I do because they're so fed up with American nauseating, bloviating worship of Jews. And it's like, guys, it's so obvious what's going on. You guys are just so stupid. And so when I come in and just say it's 1, 2, 3, 4, they say, man, you're the most refreshing American we've ever had. Sit down, have some kahwa, some coffee, some chai. Sit down. We want to talk with you, man. You're a cool guy. So I don't have that.
It's like these Christian Zionists. I mean, once they're confronted with the truth, I mean, it's like they're like that the mother, right? Who doesn't protect the daughter against the husband, whether it's the stepdad or biological father. When she sees the evidence that the father is molesting the child, they make up excuses for it and justify it in their mind, and they block it out. And then years later, when it comes up, the girl's having problems, and hey, well, didn't you know that, that this guy that you brought into our house or the biological father or whatever was molesting me all those years? You saw the evidence, but you looked the other way. It's like that's the way I say these Christian Zionists.
Yeah, I would tend to concur. I don't know too much of them, but I know that they're largely, when you listen to them talk, they might as well be Jewish. It's like, oh, Israel, I'm so grateful to Mr. Trump. He supports Israel. I'm like, man, we've got to get rid of this block somehow. Anyways, Frank, what else you got real quick? And then let's kind of move this along. It's only a 2-hour show here. What do you think, by the way? I do have a question for you, though. What's happening with the Inspector General report in America and the redactedness of the report? And what's really going on there? Are we getting closer to any indictments yet?
I won't believe any indictments until I see them. I really don't have any faith that anything's going to come out of any of this. I really don't. I know they just say be patient, but the case has been made by what's the gentleman from South Carolina? He did
Nunes?
A really good job. And what's that?
Devin Nunes?
No, I can't think of his name. From South Carolina, but I mean, he and others have made the case very clearly that the FBI and the Jewish leadership and the FBI and the Justice Department are total criminals. I mean, totally anti-American criminals. You could go in there and arrest a lot of them. The case has already been made publicly made. It's obvious that these people were operating beyond the scope of their positions in the FBI and the Justice Department, and were basically engaging in corruption, conspiracy. I mean, you name it. You could
To me, when you go and involve yourself in trying to inject yourself into an election with the willful, you know, using your position of power to affect that election, you are effectively trying to stage a coup d'etat. And to me, that is a firing squad type of offense. We simply cannot
have
our elected officials sitting inside of their little cushy jobs that we're paying them for, working against our interests to control the country against our interests. This is treason. And I'm not a capital punishment guy, but this is either you hang them or you shoot them. You cannot allow this.
Well, I'm not a capital punishment guy either, because I don't trust that kind of power in the hands of the government.
Well, me either. In this case, when it's so freaking obvious, it's like, what are you waiting for? And they walk, you know, I mean, it's like, what are you waiting for? Guys, it's not even, you know, this. It's very frustrating because, you know, we know that Jewish infiltration is massive. And we know that if Trump is trying to clear the swamp, he's got a much more difficult chance than, you know what I mean? He's done a good job to at least allow people to see how bad it is. I mean, that's better than it was. And as we always say, before you can solve the problem, you got to be able to see it and you got to talk about it. So give him some credit on the domestic scene. Because this at least has come out and be now. It never would have come out with an Obama, with a Hillary.
You're right. I mean, just his presence there, his presidency has shown that these people controlling the FBI and Justice Department, et cetera, are totally criminal.
Yes. And we've known that, obviously. But now the masses are seeing it. You know, when you have this 9/11, as you know, they covered it up. And what we're really witnessing from the FBI now is it really goes after the small lying fruit, people like you, like me, would go after us without blinking, and they would throw everything at us. But as soon as it reaches a certain glass ceiling level, they do everything in their power to cover up the crimes of these people. They are.
I don't think Hillary Clinton will ever see the inside of a prison cell. I really don't.
No, I don't think so either. And she should. She's one of these traitors. I mean, let's be honest.
I always said that. I always thought that.
Yeah.
Even back when I was hopeful with Trump, I told everybody. Everybody was so, oh, yeah, she's going. I said, no, I guarantee you Hillary Clinton will never see the inside of a prison cell, no matter what. Anyway, I'll get out of your way, Fetch. Keep up the good work. Hope your eyes are feeling.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much, Frank. That's Frank, everybody, in North Carolina. If you'd like to call into the show, everybody, 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. Phone lines are open again. It's the Fetch coming to you live from Amman, Jordan. We are live streaming. Again, the numbers have picked up on the live stream. Thanks for that, everybody, for joining the stream. Again, you can go to Inside the Eye Live and look at the live stream on Inside the Eye Live, or it's under the listen thing, or work your way over to YouTube and try to check it out from there. We got about, I don't know, about three minutes before we go into the next break. So let me just kind of update you a little bit what's going on here in the Middle East. You know, we've got the situation in Yemen. We reported last Saturday about the airport in Hodeidah. Hodeidah is one of the main port cities of Yemen. It was captured by the Saudis, or reported captured by the Saudis and the UAE last week, going into Saturday's show. It had since become a little bit more contested. It seems now that situation, it's still fluid. We do have a lot of fighting going on around Hodeidah, but now Reuters is reporting that the Saudi and the UAE coalition and the authorized, or the not really authorized, let's call it the not the legal, but the recognized, that's it, the internationally recognized government, which is working with the Saudis and the UAE, they have made a lot of headway into Hodeidah, and they are looking really to capture the port. Now, today, what happened was a massive amount of aid that was intended for the Yemeni people, at least in the Houthi areas, it went up in flames today. Literally, a huge amount of international aid was seen to go up in flames. Smoke went out through most of the day. Fire pretty much destroyed everything. And there was about 3 ships in the Hodeidah Harbor. They were looking to clear these ships as fast as possible so they can clear the ships, because the Saudis, UAE, and the recognized government forces are coming. Reuters did mention today that a large portion of Hodeidah was actually captured today. So that is a case, again, into a break. It's the Fetch and PEI Live. Back with more. How are things up in Canada?
Well, we might get a bit of a storm today, I'm hoping. So we actually got a bunch of fires out here now in BC.
Well, so, if it's laced with chemicals and aluminum,
exactly.
It's a real firestorm.
Yeah. So I'm watching you on TV. How'd you get back on YouTube?
I've never been off YouTube. I just stopped using it only because I did not have the proper equipment to do it. And then what happened was I did some consulting work in Saudi this year, and the penalty, not really the penalty, but the compensation was the equipment I needed to put together the video. So I bartered some consulting for a really expensive laptop that will allow me to actually do a pretty good job now to put together a nice show. And I'll be honest, I think it's pretty good. I like the product so far. It's a unique product, so I like what we're doing on the live stream.
So this is regular YouTube? Because, you know, when they cut you off, I emailed them, and I said, please put him back on, blah, blah, blah. I really like listening to his shows, blah, blah, blah. And they wouldn't put you back on.
Well, I don't know
so
about
it's kinda
that.
Weird.
I've never been off, to my knowledge. So if I was ever banned, I never knew that. But I was off. I never used the platform for years. I would just post a show here, a show there. So I never really allowed the YouTube franchise to ever get any velocity. We have very good velocity for the radio show, of course, for the MP3 files, but we never allowed YouTube to really get a chance. So now we're giving that a chance.
But Fetch, listen, I would call in, and you said, well, at least watch the YouTubes, because I get a couple of, you know, quarters or a quarter or a nickel or whatever.
No. What's happened there is they have changed the way they do. You might want to cut your radio down. You're feeding back to me.
Sorry.
But what's happening is that YouTube has just changed their policy. You need to have so many minutes watched, 4,000 hours to be exact, and 1,000 subscribers before you can have your product monetized. So they've just changed their policy. That's all.
Oh, because I thought it was because you were talking about the Jews, and I thought, well, you're definitely talking about the Jews.
I've not had a lot of problems. Well, you know, I put my show together in a way that is generally professional, mature, in an adult way. I'm not trying to go out of my way to harm or to troll certain people that I know is just going to have the power to shut me down, if you know what I mean. So I don't have a lot of problems so far with the social media circles. The only time I've ever lost my account was when I was arguing with a Jewish guy from NBC. This NBC sports account announcer was just being an idiot, a complete total jackass, and I let into him, and he whined to the Twitter board, and I was had my account deleted for that. But it's typical Jewish point at the end of the day.
Yeah. Well, I was upset when they took you off because I would listen to it and then I'd keep watching it so that you would get some money for, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In lieu of spending money, because I didn't have money to send, right?
There you go.
You know?
There you go.
But they demonetized it anyways.
Yeah, and it's just policy. Everybody got demonetized. It's not just me. It's everybody. It's just policy.
Yeah.
Now there's a new 4,000 watch hour and 1,000 subscribers. I've never really worked the YouTube before. So, you know, my subscriber is only at 230 or so and just about 1,000 watch hours now. So it's not like I've really spent a lot of time on it. So I don't have the reach that I would have, let's say, with my website or other properties. But we're doing fine, Vera. I think the show's doing fine.
Oh, absolutely. Excellent. And some nice points that Shut Up Frank had there. You know, some good points he made there, you know. Yes. One other thing, you know, I watched the game shows, eh? And I watched Let's Make a Deal. And the big prize was a trip to Chicago and a car. And the trip to Chicago was actually donated. Listen, it was actually donated by the Jews of Chicago. That's how the, and I thought, wow, they're trying to get good PR or what?
Well, I mean, it doesn't cost them anything. A lot of the times, you know, the Jew owns the media on one side, and they give it to them for free on the other side, and they just give them a free, you give us the car, and we'll give you free airplay, you know, stuff like that. I mean, it's not that big a deal. And what's a car at the end of the day in America? Nothing. Let's be honest, a car is nothing. A trip is nothing.
I know, but this is the first time I ever heard it actually spoken like that. This from Jews of Chicago.
You know,
the mafia or whatever.
I would ask them, hey, look, is this bulletproof? Is the car bulletproof? Otherwise, you know, don't bother me. Your city's a cesspool of criminality. I know there's a lot of good people in Chicago, and you know the Cubs are a great franchise. Blah blah blah. But let's be honest. I mean, it's one of the most crime-ridden areas. If I'm going to go to Chicago and I don't know better, I would probably end up in trouble. So I would not want to go to Chicago on my own. It would be kind of a dangerous thing for me without researching first. It's like going to Los Angeles. You got to research it before you just start cruising around L.A.
Yeah, and I thought they had serious gun control in Chicago.
Well, they do. They only allow criminals to have guns. Yeah, it's controlled.
so, it just makes you want to go out and get a gun.
Yeah. Anything else, Vera? I got.
Anyways, nice talking to you, and I'll let you do your spiel.
Well, thank you.
And it's nice to see you on you know that we can actually see you.
You know, it's
excellent.
Thank you. We're happy with the YouTube stream. I like it. I like doing it. It's a lot more work, but I like doing it. It's a little bit of extra effort. We don't want the show to suffer, of course, but we do like doing the YouTube, and we think it's a good way to reach more people. So we're going to keep doing it now.
Okay. Talk to you later, Fetch.
All right. Thanks, Vera. That's Vera in Canada, everybody. 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. Again, the YouTube is at Inside the Eye Live. So look for user Inside the Eye Live. You'll find us there. You know, the final story we want to talk about today, I think is probably, let's go to, I think the link tax. I'm not sure I pulled up a picture of the link tax. Let me check here. Yes, we did. So let me kind of, The link tax in the UK, not the UK, but the EU is probably one of the dumbest pieces of legislation we have seen a government agency come down or a government policy making body come down in quite some time. What the EU wants to do now is they want to start taxing. It's not, I mean, they've kind of like passed the first round. It's not law yet, but they've kind of like passed the first round. And they want to tax the links on your website. And I'm like, you know, to get backlinks on a website is a lot of hard work, you know, for you to get a backlink. If you're not familiar with how the web works, really the web's relevance is how many links are linked to you. And the more links that have linked to you voluntarily, preferably, the more relevant you are on the web. It really breaks down to that. So what they want to do is they want to start taxing links. They want to put filters on content so that, let's say I said this in my website. I wrote an article and I said June 21st is the summer solstice and it will start at 12:19 in the afternoon, for instance. Well, the EU is telling everybody that you have to put a filter on everything. So if Reuters came out with something that said the summer solstice is on June 21st and it will start at 12:19 in London, and I wrote the summer solstice is on June 21st and it will start at 12:19, but I didn't put London and I just wrote it. Well, if it's already on the web and Reuters has written that, guess what? My story gets censored from the web because they say you are violating the copyright of Reuters. That's right. You're violating copyright. So basically, the idea behind this censoring here is that they want to give the American companies, probably Google and others, all this machine intelligence learning companies, the ability to essentially sweep the web, catalog everything that is said, and then every time something is posted on the web, you're supposed to have a filter on it. And if it finds that you have anything that mirrors anything on any other website, you're not allowed to say it anymore. It's going to be taken from you. You can't speak anymore. Worse is they want to tax you on the backlinks. Now, if you're a Reuters or a New York Times or a CNN, essentially what a lot of us will do, and it's known in the internet world as just common courtesy, is we'll take a small snippet of your story and we'll let people see it so there's interest to see it from our side, and then we will send the traffic to you. That's normal. That's like advertising. It's free for you. But the Jews are complaining about this, folks. They don't want you to be able to do that. They don't want you to be able to use their content in any way to get attention to your website, even if you're going to send them the traffic. They want basically to create a bunch of isolated islands on the interweb, on the internet, so that essentially nobody can link to anybody anymore. Well, guess what? If nobody can link to anybody anymore and they're going to censor all this content left and right, then that by default goes back to supporting the dominant mainstream media organs because they're the only ones that have reach outside of the internet. Think about that. They're the only ones with reach outside of the internet. We have a little bit of reach here, a little bit of reach there, but without the internet, our reach is really small. And now they're saying you won't even be able to do any type of linking, something to that effect. And here's what really galls me about Jews and their digital copyright type of mindset. I do a radio show, and I'm doing 3 hours of radio, right? And the radio is my content. It's my head. It's my passion. It's my words. It's my creativity. Everything about it is mine. And then if I take something like a commercial that is broadcast here on the commercials, what they want to do is they want to monetize, Jews want to monetize the entire work, even though they've only got like 12 seconds of music inside of that piece. So let's say I did a clip and 12 seconds are from a Jewish controlled copyright because Jews were behind the copyright type of laws. They want to take my entire body of work and take all the money from it for themselves. For 12 seconds. How is that fair? Do Jews really think that they are providing all this value based on some stupid song that we might have pulled a tiny, tiny 3, 4, 5 second clip from? Do they really think, honestly, do Jews think, are they that stupid that they really think that they are owed 100% of your money, your efforts, because you used 3 seconds of their song? See, that is what's happening out there inside the digital copyright world. It's draconian. I remember once I used to broadcast, for instance, at Oracle Broadcasting. And what I did at Oracle is I had music copyrighted music. Now, if you're a Jewish-owned public radio station using open air, you get special rights. You can actually buy musical rights to all this for very, very cheap. It costs you almost nothing to buy the musical rights to run on your station. But for those of us in the internet world, it's a whole different pricing ballgame. It's not even on a fair playing field. And we're not even allowed to basically use it in certain ways unless our audio file goes over 5 hours long. Well, who's going to sit there and try to put together a 5-hour audio file in the days when you could only upload about an hour anyways? That's what's kind of going on. We're not playing on a level playing field. Jews are stacking the deck. It's dishonesty. It's almost like a syndicate. And I've always thought this about the music world. You know, when you take a look at music going back 40 years ago, I've met a lot of kids that still like the music of my generation. And I'm talking about the classic rock days. They still like that music. And so what we would do is we would never be able to hear that music except for through open air radio. So essentially, if a group got famous like AC/DC or Led Zeppelin or Styx or Rod Stewart or any of these other acts, mine's favorite's Jethro Tull, they did it through the open airways. And I'm like, from a rational point of view, it's impossible. It's like a lot of the produced music of that era, you know, 1970, when you listen to it, folks, they were artists. Really, they were artists. And that includes the Jewish producers. Really, they did a really good job. A lot of you are probably too young to remember, but this was still stereo just came out. Folks, there was still a lot of mono. So stereo came out. And when stereo came out, they really experimented with what they could do with stereo. And all these mixing boards, and boy, they could put the cymbals over there and some type of a chirp over here, and they could really surround, and of course they called it surround sound, but they could really surround you with this sound. So you give these artists credit, including the Jews who were putting this together. I don't have a problem with that. Be fair where there's a need to be fair. But when it comes to culture, these Jews who own that music, they could never have been able to make the money they made without the active use of the open airwaves, our open airwaves. And to me, when you're using our airwaves and you were controlling what was played on our airwaves, we kind of has a stakeholder in that also, because you didn't get that money by yourself. You were using our public airwaves. And that, to me, makes the public part of the stakeholder group. And it's no different today than when we go to the digital medium. When I look at what's going on, look, you have the internet. It is developed on internet protocol. Nothing that Facebook is doing, quite frankly, means anything without the internet protocol. Absolutely not. So guess what? As far as I'm concerned, we need to start to put together some type of mechanism, some type of logical reasoning here that says you in these various realms that are claiming all this copyright, if you used our mechanisms, our public airwaves, our open airwaves, our digital medium that we, the taxpayer, funded, then as far as I am concerned, we are part stakeholders in that. And your rights to this digital content should be absolute when it comes to making money. But it should not be so absolute to where you are going to criminalize us for using that, because we had a say in how that got out equally. It's not like you were able to do it all by yourself. That's not the case here. So in many cases, the public, when you really look at the distribution forms, it has a very solid basis that we are stakeholders. It's not like the 70s groups could make it without having the access to the radio. It's impossible. It's impossible, folks. It's not like Facebook and Google and all of these companies could ever have gotten as big as they could or are without first the U.S. taxpayer funding the Internet Protocol IP. It's not possible. So how are we not stakeholders? You're using our Internet Protocol for free. We taxpayers aren't making a dime off of you. We should be, really, in some cases, we should take these monopolistic, draconian Jewish operations and we should start legislating their backlinks. I don't have a problem with that. If you're involved in censorship like Facebook and you're using our Internet Protocol, you know what? And you're making money by people giving you content for free. And then you're using our backbone of Internet Protocol. Yeah, let's start charging Facebook attacks. I don't have a problem with that. Put them out of business. Same with Google. If Google, to me, like a smart idea with Google would be to look at a committee. And if Google is using our Internet Protocol to falsely create a reality or to, let me word that a better way, but to create a reality that is simply false and misleading, then we should tax them for all of this false and misleading information. I don't have a problem with that either. But this idea that you're going to take every single author out there, including yours truly, and I would not be very subject to this, quite frankly. But you know what? In my case, I will take like a snippet here. It's called like footnoting. Remember going to class and you had to footnote your article? And when you took a little snippet from something to support your case, you had to footnote it? This is just like basic education here from the old days. I don't know what they do nowadays. But if I were to take a small paragraph from this little article, there is an article. I just put it up at Inside the Eye Live called, what is it called? I do so much stuff, I forget what I even do. The Raging Civil War in America. It's about how the pharmaceutical companies are just really killing off Americans and nobody's fighting back. That is a civil war. Okay? But to show how they're doing it, I took a snippet here, a snippet there. I put it in the article. I gave you the source. And they want to make that illegal. That's like basic academia 101. And these frickin' morons inside of the EU... And literally, they want to make this type of reporting apparently illegal. Basically, you can't be smart anymore. You got to be a complete idiot. That's what the EU is saying. It's interesting, too. You know, Marine Le Pen, she's with the National Front. And her YouTube channels, the National Front YouTube channels, they were all deleted. And they were taken down and they were blocked. And two members from the National Front, two members from the National Front voted for this censorship law. So it's like, you know what? You just can't teach stupid nowadays. It's so easy. I mean, these people are some of the dumbest people going today. Literally just some of the dumbest people going today. We know that this whole internet censorship idea is coming from Germany. The Germans are leading the charge on this. But the Germans are the same people. The Germans. Put some brackets around that, everybody. Put some brackets around Germans because it's really Jews. They're the same people that want to jail you because you don't believe their story about Misha and the wolves. They're the same people that want to jail you for not believing that Anne Frank wrote something in a ballpoint pen. Okay? They're the same people that want to jail you for mocking and satire how stupid Jews are in this regard. See, you just can't teach stupid. You gotta take their stupidity seriously. Yeah. You gotta take them really seriously. No matter how stupid they are, you gotta take them seriously because they're a master race. Yeah, okay, yeah, okay, I get you. They're leading. That's who's leading the charge here. It's something that eventually, folks, we're gonna have to come to a head with these people. They only believe, quite frankly, in one thing, and that's tyranny. Really, it's just tyranny. Talmudic tyranny, left, right, left, and right. I don't even know what to say anymore. How else can you not see it? Let's create a definition of anti-Semitism so we can fight it. Well, why don't they let you define it? Let us define it. Anti-Semitism simply means it's a rational reaction to Jewish tyranny. And everybody should be taught how to be anti-Semitic. And there's no need to fight it. We should be fighting those who want to fight against anti-Semitism. How about that? Why is it just a one-way street? This is where I don't grasp people's understanding here. They want to just listen to one side of the argument, but they don't want to look at the other side. Folks, if Jews want to say, let's fight anti-Semitism, we should say, let's fight against those who fight against anti-Semitism and criminalize those who say things are anti-Semitic. Why not? If you tell me I'm anti-Semitic, why should you not be accused of a crime? And why should you not be put in jail? That doesn't make sense. Folks, they want to put you in jail because of a definition of anti-Semitism. So why should you just not equally put on a book, put on the books that says a law here, a law that says if you accuse somebody of being an anti-Semite, that is a crime and you must go to jail for it. Why not? Again, this is democracy, right? It's democracy. You have a right to advocate for your position. Right now, nobody's advocating for their position. Everybody wants to cower in silence against the minority, folks. At the end of the day, the minority can do nothing without you. Seriously, this minority can do nothing without you, without your acquiescence. Because if you have thousands upon thousands and tens of thousands of people just saying no, 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 what are they going to do? What are they going to do? And if it's your police, if you can win them over, and it's your military, if you can win them over, after all, they're your friend, your family, why should they be fighting you? And the same with the police, quite frankly, the police should wake up. Why should you be fighting your own people? Why are you going to Israel to get training to come back to be a complete idiot? I've had my days of idiocy with police. Really? You know, I'll tell you a quick story. I was on July 4th. I should tell this on July 4th. I'm going to leave this story till tune in on July 4th. I'll tell you my July 4th police story, how I was arrested on July 4th. July 4th, by the way, really, for walking on the street with disheveled hair. Yeah, that's the level of stupidity in our police force. I don't need to be educated about American policing. And I know a lot of you support the police, blah, 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 blah. They've got a great public relations campaign. But folks, everything has to be on the table for discussion. It's The Fetch, Inside the Ally, prime time again, June the 20th.